And I want to tell you guys about some of the things that we did on those trips and the ways that we saw God working. Many of you have been praying for these trips while I went on them, or even donated financially, so I just want to share with you all what they were all about. So let's see if I can... that worked. Okay. So trip number one was Enid and Stillwater, Oklahoma. And on this trip, we stayed with the Knoll family, so Alan and Liz Knoll. We stayed at their house while we did this mission trip, this first one. This was our group. So there were three people on the missions team. There was me and my sister Kate, who were there being crazy. And then there was Samara Harper, and she's the one who's kind of kicking her foot at Kate, like trying to trip her. And so we were the three on the missions team. Then we also had the youth from Stillwater. The youth group there helped us with Vacation Bible School and the things that we were doing, which was really helpful since there were only three of us. And yeah, we had a lot of fun. There were some pretty eccentric people on this group. Okay, so what did we actually do while we were there? The main activity was our Vacation Bible School, and this was a space-themed camp, which... I mean, the real point was that we were teaching them about God and his goodness and glory, but we made it space-themed to try to attract kids from the neighborhood. It was basically a sports camp that we were doing, so we had soccer and basketball and then some other games to get the kids involved. We had our group T-shirts there. Yeah, so basically what we did was we planned how the day would go. We had a schedule, but we had to plan all the activities for the kids, and then we taught them the Bible memory verse and the psalm with the hand motions. I was in charge of sort of emceeing it, so kind of being introducing it, making sure things were running smoothly. Yeah, other people, we had to plan out which sports activities we were going to do and the games, snacks, all those good things. And let's see. Yeah, so here's some more pictures from our VBS. After every day, so I'm going to run through what our day was like. So in the mornings we did our the Vacation Bible School. Then in the afternoons we had lunch together as a group. And then we would go and do some door-to-door work in the neighborhood. So I don't have any pictures of that, but what we were doing was we would go out into the neighborhoods and knock on people's doors, ask them, how can we pray for you, and invite them to church. So we were able to have some good conversations that way with the different people that we ran into and invite them to the Vacation Bible School if they had kids, or invite them to church. Some other special activities we did was we went to the Golden Oaks Retirement Home, where everybody in our group went and sang psalms for them, for the folks there. And that was a really good experience. And it was really cool because sometimes they would, the people in the audience would remember the psalms and they would sing with us. And then afterwards, we mingled with the crowd there and we got to talk to the folks there and have offer some encouragement and such things. All right, so what else? Oh, another thing that we did during Stillwater Week was we had a day of fasting, and that was in response to the legislation on the gay marriage. So the church got together at the Yost home, and we had a time of prayer and fasting, reading through the Bible, just praying for our country and offering repentance to God for the Supreme Court's decision. Right. And every day at the end of the day, we would go and fellowship with different church families from the congregation. So we'd have dinner with them, sometimes hang out with them, play games, etc. All right, so moving on to Enid, Oklahoma. This was our group for Enid. And, yeah, so it was interesting because we had a smaller group, but more kids than we had last time. So we had to make some adjustments, and people had a lot more responsibilities during this week just because we had the smaller numbers. So when we went to Enid, we were living at the Wagner's house, and this time the whole group was staying there together in the house, except for some who were younger, stayed with their parents, and then Jonah Harper, who was commuting from his house to help us out. Some of the differences from this VBS from the last one, so it's the same Space Camp VBS, but we did have to make a couple changes because of more kids and a different building. So this time we had the YMCA was letting us use their building, and which was really nice. And one of the cool things about that was for the last VBS, we only had, well, we mostly just had kids from the church and then a couple of outside kids. But using the YMCA's facilities allowed us to also have a lot of kids who were not from the church, from the community, and kids who maybe didn't go to church with their families. So I think we had around 30 kids for this one most days, maybe a little bit less depending on the day. So that was a good, challenging experience, but we were also really glad to be able to serve those other kids who were not necessarily from church families. Let's see. Is there something else I want to mention about this? Yeah, so then at the end, here, I'll go on to the next. Yeah, so for Enid, we always did our door-to-door work in the mornings, which was nice because it was not as hot as when we did the afternoons in Stillwater. Here's some more pictures from that VBS. We always had a skit in the morning, which was fun because we didn't really have a lot of time to practice, but the kids seemed to really enjoy them, so that was good. In this picture with the table, so our kids got creative during snack time and decided they didn't want to eat their snacks on the table. They'd have more fun eating them underneath, so that was pretty cute. And then at the end of the week, we had a big party, a 4th of July celebration at the Wagner's house, and we went to go see fireworks, and that is me holding fire in my hand. All right, so at the end of that trip, I went back home to San Diego, and so it was really neat because I got to use the same VBSs that I used in Enid and Stillwater, and then I did the VBS again in San Diego for my church. And so we had to make some changes for that one, too. Some of the kids didn't want to do any sports, so we had to add in crafts and switch some things around. But so, yeah, so the blessing spread over to our congregation as well. Then after that is when I went to New York for the White Lake Covenanter Camp, where I served as a team leader once again and as a camp counselor for them. Let's see. Here's the group that we had. A lot of people, there were, again, three on the immediate missions team. So there was me and, so there's Mary Bird Green up there standing, and then Josiah Dehar is kneeling over there at that far right corner. What's up, one over? Okay, and then also the cooks are in this picture. We had a good group of people. Other cabin counselors came to help us out. Maybe some of you recognize Ryan Schneider over there. So he was there as well, and Mike Ramsey. And then we had Bob Almond was our camp director, and he was awesome. All right, so what we did at White Lake was the first thing we had to do was we had 3 weeks there, so week number one was just getting everything ready. So if some of you maybe have been to White Lake and you know it's not a really large campground, but there weren't very many of us there, so it took a lot of work just to get it ready for the campers. So we had those cabins. We had to clean all of them out, disinfect all the mattresses, sweep everything. We had to clean all the bathrooms, make sure that they were restocked and ready to go. We also went through the rec hall where they had all the recreation equipment. There was all kinds of toys and stuff, so we had to pull everything out, sort through, okay, what do we want to use with the kids, and what are we going to put back storage, what do we need to throw away. We also cleaned the mess hall where we had all the meals. So we took everything out and swept the floors, mopped the floors, got that ready to go, cleaned up the kitchen, made sure that everything was super clean because that's a really good place for kids to get sick if it's not really clean. So, yeah, we worked on everything for that. So that physical labor we did, and then we also did preparations because we were the teachers for Kids and Teen Camp, which was the first camp coming. So I was a teacher for cabins 1 and 2. Those were the younger kids, about 7 to 10 years old, both boys and girls. And then we had another teacher for the older kids. Me and Mary worked on all the crafts, so we put those together. And that took a lot more time than I thought it would, because I guess it gave me an appreciation for people who have to put together crafts, because we had to not only plan out what the kids were going to do, but then do all the preparations ahead of time. Like, there were these boxes that we made. They're called promise boxes, where you would we had to cut out, like, a cross shape and then have it be able to fold up and make a box. But the measurements had to be exact for all these boxes, and it took forever to get them right. But the kids told us that they really liked the promise boxes at the end of the week, so we were glad that they at least, so it was worthwhile in that sense. During that week, we also made a swing set, which you can see in this picture with Bob. Yeah, so we put that together, and which was really cool. A lot of the adults really enjoyed the swing set as much as the kids. So it was a very good thing. So then it was time for the actual camp. And Mary and I were cabin counselors for cabin number 1. And basically, it's kind of like babysitting all day long, 24/7, with these kids. And it was a lot of work, but I think this was probably one of my favorite weeks of the whole summer. It was really challenging, but being with those kids all the time really helped us see ways that they were growing and helped me to practice patience a lot and grow in those ways. And yeah, so basically, and here's how the day went. In the mornings, we had our counselor meetings where everyone was tired, but we had lots of coffee, so it was okay. And then we woke up the kids, had them go to breakfast. After that, we were in charge of devotions for the cabins and cabin cleanup. And we had to get our cabins super clean because the dirtiest cabin had to clean the bathrooms later in the day. And after that, we had our lessons. So we had kids and teen camp all together for the beginning in the morning, and then we split up, and I was teaching the younger kids, and then we had other teachers for the memory verse and memory psalm that they were doing. After that, the kids had some free time, so we went and we played with them, and we had lunchtime, and then we had a nap time after that, sort of a quiet time that the kids could take a nap or do some reading, and a lot of times, because we got pretty tired towards the end of the week, the cabin counselors also went and would take turns taking naps while the people would watch their kids. So that was a great way for us to watch out for each other, too, asking, do you need a nap? I can do it. sometimes we had to make sure people got the naps, even if they didn't want to take naps. So after that, we had our recreational time. We had a lot of different somewhat random games that the kids got to play. We didn't really play normal sports. It was usually some kind of combination between one sport and another. But the kids really enjoyed it, and it was fun kind of making them up as we went along. After that, we had our water slide, which was this gigantic water slide. I don't even know how long it was, maybe like 100 feet long or so. So we got to push kids down the slide. That was lots of fun as well. They enjoyed it. I don't know. I went once. But, yeah. So we had 7 girls in our cabin for that first week. We had to say goodbye to them at the end. After our water activity, I mean, we had dinner and we had a big campfire. They usually were not as big as the one in this picture. We had one like that the last night, but usually they were a little bit smaller because they got kind of out of control and we had to like put them out and things, which was also exciting. But, all right, moving on to family camp. So family camp was basically scheduled very similar way, and, except it was nice for us because we didn't have to plan the, we didn't have to teach the classes or plan a lot of things. Mostly what we did was we just took the kids from different activities, we played with them, and did make sure they got their naps in. But their parents were always nearby, so if we had any questions, we could go to them. And so it was a little bit more relaxed. It was a little bit confusing because I wasn't always sure, like, when the parents are right there, should I still be telling their kids, like, what to do? But we pretty much figured out it was still all-day babysitting, just with the parents nearby in case you need some help. And that worked pretty well. Let's see. Yeah, we did that activity there. It was like a gigantic game of kickball, but with a slip and slide. So they were running on the slip, like slipping from one base to another and splashing around. That was pretty exciting. let's see, anything else from this one? Oh, I really liked, what I liked about family camp was there were other adults there, so we got to have some adult conversations, which had been a while since we could do that. And they also had psalm sings every single day, which we really appreciated. And one girl from our group also, like, she is Reformed Presbyterian, but her family wasn't near a Reformed Presbyterian church, so she really appreciated, like, being able to sing psalms every single day when she hadn't been able to do that for a while. All right. So that's what we did this camp. So some final reflections on the two missions trips that I was on and some lessons I learned. I think for Oklahoma, one of the things that God was really teaching me was that he is in control. And even though I would try to make everything run smoothly, a lot of times our plans would get mixed up or we had to change things, be really flexible with things that God had for us. So, for example, we did have to change the VBS a few times and make up things on the fly, and it seemed kind of chaotic, but it did work out really well in the end. And I think a lot of times things went even better than anyone could have possibly planned, and that really showed that God is sovereign. For example, while we were doing the door-to-door work, I'm the only one in our group who could speak Spanish, and somehow I ended up with every person at the door who could only speak Spanish, so that was pretty cool. I was able to talk to some of the neighbors in Spanish. They would tell me, oh, I don't speak English, so I asked them, so what language do you speak? And they said, Spanish. I'm like, yes. So I could talk to them, and I was even able to pray with one woman in Spanish with her. So that was a really neat thing. Also, at the end of the Enid VBS, one really cool thing that happened was there's a little boy there who we thought that he was sort of a trouble kid. He was always running away and not really paying attention, so we thought. But at the end of the VBS, there was a time when Jonah, who was teaching the Bible lesson, he asked a question, and then this little boy just started preaching the gospel in front of all the other kids, and it was the neatest thing ever. I remember Kate and I looked at each other and were like, who is this kid? Because we thought that he was not listening, but he was just talking, like, he was like, the word of God was coming out of his mouth, and it was a really neat thing. For White Lake, things I learned, again, it was a big lesson in patience. Sometimes I just couldn't handle, like, another whiny kid, like, talking to me. Like, I don't know what to do, they keep complaining. I've tried my best, but so I learned that I wasn't as patient as I thought I was when I went into the trip, but it also helped me grow in that area. And I learned that loving these kids often meant doing a lot of dirty work and things I didn't necessarily expect that I would be doing, cleaning up certain unseemly messes, etc. But I learned how to love these kids, even when they were driving me crazy, just having that mindset of, no matter what you do, I'm going to love these kids anyway. And God is showing that to me and helping me with that. So overall, the trips were a really great experience. taught me more service and trusting in God, and also ways that I needed help, and how the other Christians around me were there to support me, even though I was technically the leader, but I needed a lot of help, and people like Bob Almond and people on the trips were always there to help me out. And yep, so it was really great, and thanks for everyone who was praying for me and helping out.
I think we'll save our questions until the very end after our second presentation. So, thank you, Megan. What's that? That's what I'm looking here to see. It's just, it's not showing. You got up there, so I'm not sure why it's not exporting to the screen.
So do we do duplicate? Can we press duplicate?
Yeah, try duplicate there and see.
Great. So it's almost loaded. While it's finishing up loading, I'll just introduce myself because I don't often come to this church, so I don't know many of you guys. But my name is Evelyn Ashley, and I'm a current senior at Geneva College. I study business there. And my home church, I'm a member of the Los Angeles Reformed Presbyterian Church in Southern California. So I usually worship at College Hill. I've been here a couple times. But so I was blessed with the opportunity this summer to go on a missions trip to Taipei, Taiwan. So if you don't know where that is, it is a Republic of China. So it's considered part of the country of China, but it's just a tiny little island off the coast of mainland China. It's a very small island. And Christianity accounts for about 6% of the population there, and about half of that is Catholic. So Protestant Christianity is about 3% of the people's religion there. They're very insaturated with ancestor worship, worship of ghosts and spirits, and they have lots of temples there. It's very common just to be walking down a metropolitan street and see a giant ornate temple there that people are going into. There's monks kneeling everywhere. There's often just offerings being burnt here and there. So it's really, my pictures aren't doing a very good job loading, so I'm sorry about that. But maybe I'll just talk and then show you the pictures from my USB afterwards. But so Christianity is not a very big part of the country there. They're not hostile towards Christianity, but they're just so used to the way they're living, and they have a very thick ancestor worship culture there that it's just not something that they're very aware of there. Most people speak Mandarin Chinese there, And then often they do learn English in school. So many people are able to speak English if you see them on the street, other than Chinese, which they're very good at, of course. But they're kind of shy speaking English because they learn it in school, but they don't get many chances to speak it. So when they do have a chance, they're a little shy, but they're very friendly. And this picture right here is a view from where we stayed when we were on the trip, which was at the pastor, Andy McCafferty's, apartment flat while he was visiting America. He's an American originally, and he has been preaching in Taiwan for many years, I think about 10 now, or 15, with his wife Priscilla. And so we were mostly stationed at the Hong and Tang Church, which is a large Reformed church in Taipei. And I'll just give you a little background on the churches there. Mostly the Protestant churches are either mega churches or what's called a Bread of Life church, which is just a very common mega church there. And then they preach a lot of what's called the prosperity gospel there. So there's not very much of the true gospel being preached. So mostly if you hear of a Reformed church in Taiwan, that's something that's strictly based just on the Bible and not based on the prosperity gospel, which is where if I worship God, then he will bless me with money and happiness and peace and health. So Hong and Tang Church is a Reformed church. It's a pretty large congregation, about 80 members there. And that's where Pastor Andy McCafferty is the pastor. But on our trip, we were mostly working with a man named David Lee, who's the evangelist there. He's about to become a pastor. I think this month he was just installed as a pastor there as well. And that church is also a headquarters of the Reformation Translation Fellowship, which translates a lot of literary works into Chinese so that many different people can read it. And they have many church plants around in the area. So we were able to visit some of those while we were there. And I'll just show you these pictures. Let's see. This one up here at the top is a picture of a lot of the adult members of the Hong and Tang Church, so our host church. And then this is our team. This is Evia. This is me. This is Isis. This is Nita, and this is Nita's 8-year-old daughter, Laura, who was also on the trip with us. So that was quite an experience for an 8-year-old. This thing is crazy. I don't know what's happening with it. I don't have PowerPoint on my computer, so I have to ad-lib with presentations. But this is a picture right here of the Eternity Cafe church plant, which is a church plant that they hold in a cafe. It's pretty common there in Taiwan to have a restaurant or a cafe as an extension of the church, just kind of as a means of income and as a means of evangelism. So this one, they have all Christian workers there who just kind of try to engage the customers in the gospel, telling them about it. And then they're always closed on Sunday so that they can hold a church service there. So we were blessed to go there and see how that was. And so the whole trip as itself was a 4-week trip. So in the first 2 weeks, we were stationed there at the Hong En Church. And it was kind of an introduction to the culture and the language of Taiwan. So we got to learn some Chinese. We actually spent the first 2 weeks in the morning learning about Chinese language and Chinese culture. So Chinese is very difficult. If any of you guys have ever tried to learn it, it's crazy because you have to know all the different tones. So even if you're saying the right word, if you don't use the right tone, they have no idea what you're saying. So basically, we learned how to do basic introductions. We learned how to say, how are you? These are some things I like, these are some things I dislike. And this was our teacher right here, Linda. She was patient and kind to us, and she was a wonderful teacher. And the idea of that was that although we wouldn't be able to hold extensive conversations in Chinese, we could still make an effort to meet some of the Taiwanese people where they were and show that we care about learning about their culture, their language, even if we sometimes butchered it. So for the first 2 weeks, we were doing that in the mornings, and then we were also going around, seeing the area, trying to meet some people, doing some street evangelism. We passed out some pamphlets for the church. And the Taiwanese people are very open to hearing about the gospel, although it takes them sometimes years to accept it as the truth because their culture is so ingrained in them. So we met some people, invited some people to church, made some friends, and just hopefully tried to spread God's love throughout the country. And then you'll see this man over here. That's David Lee. He's the evangelist who was just recently ordained. And he was our main point person for those first 2 weeks of the trip. Week three, we went to a church plant in the Xinjiang district of Taipei, which was about an hour outside of the city. So we took the bus there every day. And their church was planted there in last November. So they haven't even been open for a year yet. And we were holding a VBS there with a lot of the kids. We had about 10 VBS-age kids, and then a lot of their younger siblings just kind of came along, and we kind of played with them. They kind of participated, kind of did not. And so you're probably wondering, how did we hold VBS if they all speak mostly Chinese? Well, the adults of that church pretty much structured the entire VBS. And then we had a two-hour block every day to teach VBS in English. So they knew some English from school, but a lot of it was just kind of teaching them different vocabulary words from the Bible, trying to tell them stories with skits, paper people acting them out, and just teaching them some songs, some Bible verses memory. So we were just trying to do what we could there. They were pretty low-level English, so we just tried where we could, and then the rest of the time just smiled and said, it's okay, you know? And then the rest of the time, we just helped them to make sure that their VBS was running smoothly. And one of the cool things they did at their VBS was they really stressed the kids' involvement in what they were doing. So the adults would prep about the first half of their lunch, and then they'd have a time where the other kids would all join together and finish making the lunch, which was pretty cool. The kids always had to clean up after themselves. It was just very hands-on, them very involved in what they were doing. And the other cool thing about this is that they have about 10 or 15 regular members at their church plant there, and none of the kids who attended are members of the church or their parents are members of the church. So these are all just pre-evangelism type kids that they actually have coming regularly to activities but aren't ready to start coming to church yet, or their parents aren't ready to let them start coming to church. So it's cool that we were able to have the opportunity to kind of get to know some of those kids and hopefully encourage them to start coming to church regularly. These are some more pictures. That up there is Joseph. He is actually a world-renowned ping pong player in Taiwan. And he came to teach ping pong for an hour and a half every day at VBS, which was pretty cool. So our fourth week, we actually went to a different city in Taiwan called Taichung, which was about 2 hours south of Taiwan, to another church plant there. And this one was probably a highlight of the trip because, first of all, we were teaching English there for 2 hours in the morning, every morning. So that was the goal of our time there. And so we had a bunch of the church members, kids come. They brought their friends. And we were just teaching them English kind of from a biblical standpoint. So we were reusing a lot of the VBS material that we had used. But these kids were a little bit more advanced in English, so they really understood everything we were saying, and they were really able to interact with us. So it was just we had a great time with the kids. And if you guys know anything about Asian teaching, when they teach English in school, it's very much repeating after what the teacher says, copying down what the teacher says, repetition, repetition, repetition. very little actual conversation. So we were playing a lot of games with them and just trying to involve the gospel, trying to get them to interact with the language and with the Bible while they were learning. And they really had a fun time, and they were really upset that we were leaving, actually. So it was just cool because I think that we were really able, I think they were really able to see Jesus through learning English, which was the goal. And then we were also blessed to come in contact with kind of an unfortunate situation and just see how the Lord has been working in one little kid's life. His name was Danger. And we met this little kid named Danger, and he came to VBS every day with a face mask on indoors. And at first we didn't know why, but then his mom told us one day after VBS that Danger has actually been diagnosed with leukemia since he was born. So he spent all of his 8 years being injected in multiple places. They're just trying to heal him, but at this point they're not really sure how much longer he has to live. And Danger's mother was a single mother whose husband had left her when she was very young. And she just remembered her father being baptized into the church. And she wanted for Danger in his last few months or years on earth to be a part of a loving community and hopefully get to know the gospel. She herself was not a Christian, but I think that she really saw the ramifications of Jesus in her father's life, and she wanted Danger to have that as well. So when we found that out, of course, really hard, but it just really opened our eyes up to how little we know about every single person we come in contact with and how much of hopefully an impact we can have by sharing the gospel. So we were able to talk to Danger. We were able to talk to Danger's mom, who could speak English, and just spent a lot of time praying for them. And if you guys think of it, if you could pray for Danger and his mom, that would be awesome, because he's really a special little boy. So yeah, that was our last week in Taiwan, and then we journeyed back home to Taipei. We were able to meet Pastor McCafferty and his wife before we headed back to America. So it was kind of a packed few weeks and learned a lot. Definitely, like what Megan said, we were stretched in our flexibility quite a lot. We just never really knew what was gonna come up. So it was a really cool learning experience. Yeah. Do you guys have any questions? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how did the time that last
altogether? It took a week, and it was actually a 7-hour VBS every day. They got there in the morning. We had lunch, we provided lunch for them, we had a snack in the afternoon, and then they left around 3 o'clock, but they kind of stayed to play usually until about 4. So it was quite a long day.
Teaching English and showing the Jesus, how was that done? Did you teach them verses at a time?
Yeah, so usually every day we had a topic, and we went through, for 2 days we talked about the creation and the fall. For one day we talked about the parable of the prodigal son. And then for the last 2 days we talked about Jesus' time on earth, crucifixion, resurrection. And so we'd do a skit. We would act out the stories with these laminated paper dolls that we made. And then for every day, we had about 5 to 10 keywords that we taught them. And then the keywords we paired with emotion. So then we would play games with the motions and the keywords. Things like sin, forgiveness, stuff like that, to kind of get at least a few words that they could definitely know. And then hopefully then they would get the overall story. So it was kind of a compilation of different tactics. Yeah.
I understand that
How would they what? I think that they think of themselves as a country, but they know that China is really what they are a part of. But they consider themselves very much independent of China. They have different ideals, and they're more, you know, like in China, there's a lot of persecution of the church. They're very free there to worship however they please. They have very little persecution there, which is wonderful. So, yeah, they are technically, by the books, considered a part of China, but they don't have much to do with each other as far as what say of the government. Okay. Well, thank you.
Any questions for Megan related to Oklahoma or White Lake?
You mean for the Oklahoma missions trip? Let me think. For Stillwater, they were almost all from the church. So there was maybe, we ended up having around 16 average. You know, the numbers change every day. 16 kids total. And I think we had maybe, let's see, I'm trying to think of which children, maybe like five, sometimes like four kids who were from outside of the church. And then for Enid, there were a lot more than that. We had like 30 kids, and maybe like 20 of them were from outside of the church. So,
how many times have you served in Oklahoma?
This was the third time. It took me a second to remember. Yeah. Yes. How? Well, what the different thing about Enid was that we were using the YMCA, so they helped us. Like, there's advertisements inside the YMCA, and then they also had online, there was a place where you could register for the VBS. For Stillwater, we had invitations to church. We didn't have particular tracts, I don't think. We had the church invitations and the invitations to the VBS. And then the conversations were mostly around, well, the main question was, how can we pray for you? So we would try to get into conversations that way. I remember one that I had that meant something. That was special to me was I went and there was a blind man on his door, and he was also a believer, and so I went up with my partner and I got to talk to him and his wife, and whenever we prayed for them, they also asked, well, can we pray for you too? And that was pretty cool because that didn't happen a lot. A lot of times it was kind of, oh, thank you, bye. But yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Evelyn. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to participate, even at a distance, with these young ladies who spent a portion of their summer in service to your churches and service to you. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which your word could be delivered through the vacation Bible schools and English clubs that were carried out. We thank you for the lives that were touched. And we thank you for the opportunity provided these young people to learn from, be mentored by the pastors and elders of these congregations in which they served. Lord, we pray that there would continue to be fruit produced from these cooperative efforts. Lord, that your church would continue to be strengthened, that the seeds that have been sown would take root by the power of your Holy Spirit, and that we would see the transformation of these cultures and these communities by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the willingness of these two to go and to labor and to lead their respective mission teams.
and pray that you would continue to pour out your blessing upon them as they continue to grow into that role that you are preparing for them to honor you and be your ambassador. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.